Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Do you hear that?
I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I am J Clone 9000.
And that sounded like a Bigfoot.
Yeah, it
way
did.
Way off in the distance. The famous Ohio Howl.
It sounded like a Bigfoot within our county.
Bum, bum, bum.
Whoa.
No, so this episode is going to be for all the people that are coming to Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree, which we'll talk about in a second. We're doing this whole week. Every podcast is all about Bigfoot.
The big guy. Bigfoot.
So all you people coming from all over the country and actually all over the world to the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree have all the Bigfoot content you could want for a week to listen to on the way in.
That's right. Right here on Crypts of the Corn podcast.
So before we get to that, you know, we'll do some front of house stuff. First off, the event. We'll do a little special episode kind of explaining what all the games and everything like that. It's going to be a lot of fun, but we cannot wait to see you October 5th, this Saturday, the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. It's going to be so much fun.
Ada, Ohio.
Ada War Memorial Park.
That's
402
right.
North Park Drive.
402 or 401.
One of those.
I think it's 401.
It's the only thing on North Park Drive. So.
Yeah. Just go to North Park.
You go to North Park Drive and look for all the Bigfoot people.
Just follow the signs and the arrows.
All right, new members. So we have a lot of new Patreon members. Let me get that pulled up.
All right.
Because for some reason, every time you close it, it exits off everything.
Everything, yeah.
You know, this is a unique name. Noah Levy.
Noah Levy. He's not allowed to leave.
Oh, he is. You guys have heard from him before.
Oh, was he the one from that we did the episode where he talked about his Kentucky Bigfoot?
No, it's Noah from Senior Pinch.
Oh, that Noah.
That Noah.
So Noah from Senior Pinch.
He's
now
in the Patreon group now.
Follows us on Patreon.
Next one is John Daniels.
John, welcome, John.
Welcome, John, and welcome, Noah. Next one is Jordan P. Welcome.
Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Next one is Brooks Lawrence.
Brooks Lawrence. Welcome, Brooks.
Welcome, guys. We appreciate you.
That name confused me.
Because it's not Brooke, it's Brooks.
Brooks, Lawrence.
It's
Lawrence, sorry. It's like two first names.
Two first names. No, so yeah. Thank you guys for joining the Patreon. We appreciate it greatly.
Welcome to the Corn Cult.
Welcome to the Corn Cult. All right. So last thing before we get rocking and rolling, be on the lookout. I think it's going to be November, but the book, the first organic UFO book that we've produced, should be available in November. I think we're going to premiere it at Crypticon. Maybe a little earlier, maybe not. I don't know, but that's kind of the goal right now is Crypticon. It is being edited right now, and art is being made for it, and I'm so excited. It's been such a fun thing to do. So be on the lookout for that.
Stay tuned.
November. Once I get the cover done, which should be, as you're hearing this, should be done, I'll start doing publishing about it and stuff like that.
Get the buzz going.
All right. So you ready?
I'm born ready.
So I try to do this as Hardin County Bigfoot encounters.
Okay.
Didn't quite work out. So I had to kind of expand it to Northwest Ohio Bigfoot encounters.
Okay.
So it started, I have a bunch of Ohio ones.
Which, for any new listeners out there, we are
Northwest Ohio.
Northwest Ohio, specifically Hardin County, Ohio. That's it's home base for us here at Fat Muckett Studios.
At Fat Muckett Studios. Yeah. Be on the lookout. That t-shirt should be available middle of October.
That's right.
Okay, you said it. So tell the story with Fat Muckett Studios.
What? What? The clam?
Yeah. Mussel, not a clam.
Oh, mussel. Sorry. So Fat Muckett is the type of mussel, and it's just an amazing name. And so we're naming our recording studio after
you named it that a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be Fat Muckett Studios.
Yeah. So there's a t-shirt coming out with the Fat Muckett Studios.
Yeah.
It looks so fancy and then has this
Fat Muckett
giant mussel on it. Yeah. Anybody doesn't know, a mussel is basically a freshwater clam. They're not very closely related, but, you know, they're bivalves.
Right. It's the same body plan.
But yeah, so I started looking for Hardin County ones specifically. There wasn't a ton of them publicly available besides ones we've collected.
Or your own personal
one? My personal one, yes. But we're going to talk about all that, and then we'll talk about some of the ones that have been turned into us as well.
Okay.
And then I have a lot of BFRO ones. So I started really local and started expanding out.
All right.
So all kinds of encounters. A lot of Class A's and some Class B's. But are you ready?
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us your Bigfoot encounter?
Well, I don't have one.
Oh, okay. Fast and easy. First one I really want to talk about is Greg's.
Greg's.
Greg came on the show. What was it, season two? Was it one? No, it was in here, so it was in the house.
Yeah, so it was season two.
It had to be season two or three.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
What?
Just how much time's passed.
Yeah, because he sat right there.
Yeah.
Not on this table, the old table.
The old table, yeah.
It's behind me. I'm looking it up.
But Greg's encounter happened, from where we're sitting right now, probably about
3 miles, 4 miles.
If that, yeah, down from here.
I mean, if.
And if you haven't listened to Greg's episode, I believe it was called.
I'm looking it up. Give me a second.
Well, the title of it, though, was. Oh, it's going to bother me that I can't remember. It was a cow. That's what it was called. It was a cow.
Greg's Close Call with Sasquatch. I thought it was a cow.
Yeah.
Season 2, Episode 4.
There we go. Season 2, Episode 4. But yeah, happened not too far from here. We both knew Greg personally.
Yeah.
Still do. I mean, obviously know him personally. But, you know, never knew about his Bigfoot encounter until...
He'll be at the Jamboree.
Until we started the podcast. And yes, he will be at the Jamboree.
Him and his wife, Natalie.
Awesome people.
But great people.
Yes.
But yeah, so why don't you recap a little bit? I know we haven't talked about it in forever, but why don't you recap Greg's encounter a little bit?
So Greg was heading to the hospital with his wife, and on their way to the hospital, they had seen there was cows, which happens in our county. They get out.
Often. A family died, or a kid died last year from a cow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right in front of Andy's house.
No, I didn't know that.
Ran out in front of him, killed him.
No, I did not know that.
Cows are big.
Cows are big, and they get out all the time.
And they are almost as heavy as some small cars.
Oh, yeah, at least.
Essentially like hitting a wall.
Yeah. And so they seen a cow on the road on the way to the hospital, and they had to stop, you know, slow down, and let the cow pass through so they can pass through. So they went to the hospital, and they were there all night, and they were returning home in the middle of the night, like dark, witching hour time. And on their way back home, they were passing that same stretch of road where they saw the cow previously. Yeah. And that's when his wife says, you know, hey, slow down. Remember, the cows are out here just in case it's dark now. Don't hit one. And just about the time, about, you know, shortly after she had said that, they're driving around, And then they see in the two yellow the eyes. And then she stops him and says, "Hey, cow. So they both looked and seen the yellow eyes.
In the ditch.
In the ditch, off the side of the road, in the field. And then that's when they seen it stand up. And you hear in the intro.
It kept going.
That's Greg's encounter talking.
Yeah, and that's Greg.
Greg's in his own words. So it stood up, obviously was no longer a cow, what they saw. And then it took like two steps from the field and like between two or three steps. It was from the field and across the road.
It was
crossed in front of their vehicle.
If I remember right, yeah, you're right. So it was edge of the road, middle of the road, edge of the road.
Yep.
It was just technically two steps, but three footfalls.
Right, yeah.
And it was already gone.
Well, it was wasn't gone.
No, but I mean, across the road. You know.
Past them. And then they creeped by because he never really fully stopped.
It was like 2-3 miles an hour.
Yeah, he just letting the car roll basically because they were, he said both of them were just in shock.
Well, he could have touched it.
Yeah. He said looking out of his driver's side window, it was standing right beside the truck as he rolled by.
A couple feet. Like he could have touched it.
He could have reached his arm out and touched it. He said he noticed all the muscle definition of it's like abs and its arms just jacked. He said he could see the fingernails on it, just thick, rough fingernails. And he looked up and he could see the face and he seen the teeth. He said the teeth were like chiclets.
Chiclets, yeah.
What it reminded me of is Mr. Wilson on Dennis the Menace when he knocked his dentures out and he replaced them with chiclets.
I gotta look up what a chiclet is again.
It's just a little white square piece of gum. But you've seen that on Dennis the Menace when he did that with Mr. Wilson's teeth.
That's what those are.
Yeah, they're chiclets. Yeah. So that's what he described his teeth as being like. And, he said the hair on the face, it wasn't like hairy, but there was hair coming down.
It was more hairy than a person.
Right.
But it wasn't like completely covered in hair.
Right.
That's kind of how I took it, you know?
Yep. And not like, yeah, not just full on like.
Wasn't like the Wolfman from the movies.
Right.
And you remember what I'm talking about? Like literally like he's got face like hair growing under his eyeballs.
Right, yeah. And so he said as they creep past it, he saw this detail. So it was like in slow motion. Then when they got past it, that's when he finally stopped the car and put the brakes on and the brake lights lit up the Bigfoot behind his vehicle and they could see it in the mirror. And then that's when his wife just hit him like, go, leave. Like get out of here. And he did. He got out of there. That's what they saw, like within so much detail. Please
listen to, and I'm sure. I mean, I haven't talked to Greg about it. I'm sure if you ask him about it, he'll tell you about it at the Jamboree.
I'm sure he would.
Like he's definitely like come full like 360 with his encounter with Bigfoot, and like from it not talking about it to.
Or I think it's 180.
180, yeah. Sorry, yeah. 180. But from not talking about it, or anything like that
at all.
Now he goes to Bigfoot festivals. He hangs out with that, like
yeah.
And I had a similar experience. Mine took longer than that. I think Greg turned around a couple months once he finally like got it out. You know, it's a big weight off your shoulders.
Well, that and once you know there's a community there that's like
yeah, there's a support listen. System.
Yeah,
yeah, where there's thousands of people that like
then they don't think you're crazy.
Like they've seen it. Like, yeah. And I just said this that a lady was asking me at our local community market store was. She was talking about the Jamboree without knowing I was in line. Like, they don't know who I was for this. And so she's asking me, like, what about Bigfoot? I'm like, oh, I seen one, but I would never... I never blame anybody for not believing in one without seeing one. For the average person, it's a very hard thing.
Yeah.
But, like I said, when I worked with endangered species and stuff like that, that mindset shifts really fast to how a not-as-intelligent animal can stay very hidden, very near populations
mm-hmm.
because they don't like people.
Right, yeah.
Like you think, I think that's the movie Bigfoot is why people think they're not out there. It's this big scary monster or this big dumb thing.
Okay, you know, right,
like
yeah.
Harry and the Hendersons is
make him dumb or that,
and he got violent too. You remember Harry got scary for a minute,
yeah.
But this either big dumb thing or this big violent thing, like there's no way that could survive without being caught.
What was that new Bigfoot movie that just came out? It's horrible.
Oh, horrible. Sasquatch Sunset or something like that.
Never watch that. Don't waste your time. That movie's awful.
There's another horror movie, Bigfoot movie, coming out this year, too.
Horror?
Yeah.
Scary one? Okay. Do you know what it's called?
Dawn and Death or something like that. It had like a double D name.
Either way, it's as long
it
as...
It didn't look as... It's purposely made to be like Willow Creek, right? You know,
oh, okay.
Scare the crap out of you.
I think Sasquatch Sunset, whatever it was called.
Sasquatch Sunset, I'm pretty sure.
Is made just to be to dumb, rot brain cells.
Just to be dumb.
Yeah, it's not even, there's nothing in it that's Bigfoot, like any traits of Bigfoot, anything at all. There's nothing. That movie's awful. That was a waste of time. The movie's terrible. That movie needs put down. Erased from history.
It just made me laugh. Another guy, before I get into the PFRO reports, why don't you share the farmer story?
So, okay. Without mentioning names, we have...
Don't mention any names.
No. We have a farmer here in town. This is one of our first...
Really early on.
Bigfoot encounters, stories that we've heard.
It's actually where our logo comes from. Our original Cribs According to Bigfoot logo comes from.
The inspiration behind it. So, and I like telling these stories, this story at like conferences and stuff. I don't think we've shared it on the show, really, unless it's in passing.
Maybe a long, long time ago. Not really.
So we have this farmer that farms a lot of our county, and he don't believe in Bigfoot. He said he made it a point to us that he does not believe in Bigfoot. And, you know, he's a well-respected member of the community, so it's not like he's just going out of his way to tell us this stuff just to make it up. Because he's an older guy. I don't think he has time. He don't really have time to be telling us stories just to get
it out
there.
I've known him a long time.
Yeah.
He is a no-nonsense man.
Right. Exactly. And so he asked us, you know, do you believe in that Bigfoot crap? And we're like, yeah. I don't. But then he proceeds to tell us this. So he was combining corn at night. And if anyone's ever seen a combine running at night, it's like a giant UFO.
It's like a UFO.
Flying over the field.
We have a lot of listeners that aren't Ohio-based, aren't U.S.-based. Mm-hmm. So our fields, we don't have forests. We have fields.
Right.
And our cornfields can be absolutely massive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes 4 miles by 4 miles is some of the biggest in our area.
Yeah.
With that, you know, roads break them up, but that's
right.
Literally 4 or 5 miles.
Just corn.
Just corn. And our corn on a bad year, like a really bad year, is like 6 foot tall. Like this year is one of our more poor years because we didn't get ran at the right time.
Yeah.
But the corn out there is the shortest of it's still
7 feet.
6 foot, 7 foot, something like that. I mean, the shortest corn is still taller than me.
For sure.
In a really bad year. In a good year, we've had 11-foot corn.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, you can get corn that's 10, 11-foot tall pretty easy.
Uh-huh.
So we always, for this story, say, you know, let's just go with the 7-foot, you know, 7-foot corn.
Right, yeah.
That's be really, really conservative.
Be on the low end, yeah.
But you harvest corn at night and during the day. You harvest, when it's harvest time, you go nonstop.
Yes.
So that's, you know, it's common sight in our part of the country to see these giant combines working all night.
And the thing that's significant about it is why they look like UFOs because they got these gigantic spotlights that are spread out.
Because they don't want to hit anything. They don't want to hurt like deer or people or poles. You know?
Or something to ruin their farm equipment.
Like, yeah,
expensive.
I've seen a farmer hit a telephone pole. You know the farmer that hit the telephone pole.
Is his initials SS?
No.
Okay. Well, I know someone that works for probably that same farmer. Whose initials fell asleep in the combine and ran it through someone's backyard. And they plowed their old backyard up and all the way to the road before they stopped.
Oh, gosh.
When it started going into the ditch.
I know somebody that lost a combine, or no, a tractor.
Into the creek?
No.
Oh.
It was the really big family locally. Mm-hmm. They always, you hide your tractors when you're done plowing for the night.
Yeah.
Like behind a wood lot or whatever so they don't get stolen.
Uh-huh.
They hid it and they forgot where it was. Because he'd been drinking in the tractor all day, and he got picked up by his wife.
Uh-oh.
And he'd plowed like 3,000 acres.
Yeah.
No idea which woodlot he hit it behind.
Oh, no.
Took him, I think, 3 weeks to find it.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Their family owns a huge operation.
Yeah, it's
so anyway, so that's corn and combines.
Yes, there you go, in our county. So this farmer's combining at night. He's got his gigantic spotlights out going across the field. And then that's when he said he came across a guy stood up in front of his spotlight.
In his words, keep in mind, this man's about 90.
These are his words.
A big black fella.
Yes, a big black guy stood up and looked at him from the corn. And when he described the guy, he said he was, you know, head and shoulders above the corn, staring at him. And he made eye contact with him. And shortly after, the guy turned and ran away from him straight away, faster than any human he's ever seen run.
So a part of that is, you know, before that, he said it's not weird to see people in the corn at night. You know, he's had everything from people actually planting marijuana fields in out there, yep. having parties out there.
Right.
The local college has done that several times where they've gone to a farmer's field and made like a rave lot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that wasn't what weirded them out. Like Jay said, it was the height that really freaked them out.
Yeah.
And the speed, the guy got away.
Yeah. And so we're wondering, okay. But then he reiterated at the very end, it wasn't a Bigfoot, though. It was a guy.
Well, we said, you know, do you think it could have been a Bigfoot?
Mm.
And he's like, no, it was a guy. So we're like, okay, so Shaq's out there naked running around your cornfield.
Well, I checked Shaq's itinerary schedule for that year and that time. Yeah, he had it written in there, time run to run naked.
Hardin County field naked.
Yeah, fun pastime. 5 out of 5 stars. That was just in Shaq's book. So what you will, just evidence to throw in there. You know, we leave no stone unturned here on the show.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are some local stories we've had. We've had a couple others here and there. People I don't want to name names in particular. But, you know, we had one friend that operates semis, had one run out in front of him.
Popped up, like, under a bridge. Yeah. Right?
And we had another. Well, we had two different semi drivers. So one was by the apple orchard and ran out, and he thought it was a guy early morning.
Okay.
But yeah. You ready for some BFRO local encounters?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
So, like I said, I started with the Hardin County ones, or in Hardin County. And I think we've read these before on the show, but we're going to do them again. And then we kind of venture out to other local ones. This is the 2002 summer, July 18th, Hardin County. Location is coming from Lima on 309 East. This is where, when you enter Kenton on 309 East, turn right at the second traffic light. After you turn right, you go down a little ways and you see the bridge. I know exactly where this is.
I know where you're talking, yeah.
That's why the import area, right by the import area.
Okay. Yeah, I'm following right along in my head. Yeah. Yep.
That's in town. This is in town for everybody.
Wow.
You know, it's right by that gas station.
Oh, that's where they seen the report.
Yeah, this is where the Bigfoot sighting took place.
Wow, what year was this?
2002.
2002, wow.
ADHD much.
How have we never heard about this one?
Are you serious? Or are you just screwing with me?
I don't remember.
I just said we've covered this one before. In previous episodes.
I don't remember talking about this.
But I just said that, and you're like, how have we not covered this one before? We have.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
So they observed, as when they turned to this report. About 3 weeks ago, when I was walking down South Lytton Street, on my way home, it was around 9:45 to 10 p.m. As I was crossing the bridge, I heard splashing from underneath the bridge. I go fishing under the bridge all the time, so I was not scared to go down there. I decided to see who was down there, so I walked down the side of the bridge and get down there, and when I was at the edge, I didn't see anyone on the bank, so I thought it was maybe a fish splashing. The river is not very deep there, maybe 3 or 4 feet. I know from personal experience, it's maybe barely 4 feet.
Okay.
I've done all kinds of darter stuff under there. It's the Scioto River.
I like the darters.
I started to walk directly under the bridge when I heard the splashing again. Standing in the middle of the river was a big, huge, hairy ape-looking thing. I didn't look like what I thought a Bigfoot would look like. That is if it was a Bigfoot at all. As soon as I seen it, my words went, holy S, just came out of my mouth. The darn thing heard me, turned around, started running through the water towards me.
Oh,
making
geez.
Weird gurgling noises. I hauled butt up the side of the bridge and ran across the railroad tracks and fell, cutting my elbow open. I went home and told my mom, and she thought I was on drugs. After that night, I would make any effort I could to avoid walking across that bridge anywhere close to dark. Whoever said these things will not harm you is full of it. I truly believe if that thing would have got a hold of me, it would have torn me up to pieces. Please take me seriously. Also noted that it did not seem friendly. So, you know, the BFRO has a bunch of like little side tabs under things. Other stories a long time ago outside of Kenton. I don't know details. So this is from the eyewitness, you know, reporting that there were some other times and conditions. 10 p.m., very little light. It was dry and hot out. Our area had very little rain the past few months. Under the bridge, the banks of the Scioto River. So he did do a follow-up, which I'll read here in a second. But really, really scary encounter. The Scioto River has tons and tons of sightings.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, in our presentation at the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree, we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
you know, the two big waterways.
Isn't the Scioto the longest waterway in Ohio?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
You don't count the Ohio River.
Well, yeah, of course.
It's on the edge of Ohio.
Right.
No, Scioto is absolutely massive.
I thought so.
Starts up by Indian Lake and goes all the way down to, like, Ohio River, Scioto-ville.
Is that our watershed?
Partially, yes. Oh, Hardin County splits, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
But very scary. I wish I knew more what he meant, that it didn't look like a Bigfoot, at least what he thought a Bigfoot looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we have the more, like, we've heard the encounters with really primal-looking Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wonder if that's what he's seen, you know, because...
Maybe just not so much what you...
The big friendly forest giant.
Like Harry and the Hendersons type, you know, yeah. or all the statues or the silhouettes you see everywhere.
Yeah. But I don't know. What do you think of this before I read the follow-up?
Hmm. Well, I just, my mind's still blown. I didn't either remember this. I still don't think we discussed this.
Yes, we have.
Ah, well.
There's only a handful of them in Hardin County.
We're going to have to check the tape.
This has been on there since 2002.
We're going to find the tape of us talking about this. And I don't think it exists.
It may still have been when it was Bigfoot Society.
That would make more sense.
It may have been that.
Okay, that would make more sense. But I don't know. I mean, it's pretty wild. I know exactly where he's talking.
Oh, I know exactly. It's right by where the old steel mill.
Yeah, I know exactly the street. I know exactly where. So that's kind of craziness.
Mm-hmm. So follow-up investigation. The witness is currently in the Army and called back after work. Left a voicemail, cell number provided. Here's what I list as far as the investigator. Here's what I learned. His mother recollected the evening. His name's Eric. Was adamant that the evening occurred as described. I was able to get him to fill out the following information. A, was the water level did not reach the junction of the creature's legs as it came down towards him, which means it was in excess of easily 6 feet. So do you get what I mean by that?
Yeah.
It didn't reach the crotch of the creature.
Right, yeah.
It was 4 feet deep.
So he's got...
It's big.
Yeah.
He said it was very, very bulky. The creature was dark color and had hair on its hair up to its chest high, including its arms were dripping wet, so as if it may have been like actually diving into the water looking for something. Probably mussels, like fat muckets. Mm. They're in the Scioto. He now thinks the gurgling sound was a vocalization, but it might have been the creature walking through the water towards him making the gurgling sound. Mm. He didn't see the creature make the gurgling sound. He just heard it,
right.
When discussed the possibility of someone was playing a hoax on him, he said that there are 3 bridges that he could have picked across the river. So if someone was playing a hoax and the general hoax on somebody passing by, he said it felt like a real situation because until he heard something under the bridge, the creature was moving to the east. When he came down behind it, it seemed to be intent on staying in the river and not moving onto the shoreline area. He also said the size was well beyond that of even a very large person. There was no way a person in a monkey suit could move in the water and did once it turned towards him and started running.
Hmm.
So yeah, I've been right in this spot in the water there in mm-hmm. waders. You can't run in water very easily.
No, it's like running in a swimming pool. I'm sure everyone's done it.
Yeah,
it's hard.
But now you're wearing a monkey suit, a gorilla suit, or something like that.
Maybe that helps you push through the water faster.
It does not. That's why most marine mammals don't have hair.
I know. I'm being sarcastic.
That's why most professional swimmers are like.
Where the peeled. Cat, yeah, they're shaved and they had the hair cap on, mm-hmm. yeah.
So, what do you think about this encounter?
This is wild.
Right in downtown Kenton.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean,
if he wouldn't have seen it as close as he did, you know, Kenton has a problem with drugs. So you always say it could have been.
Oh,
a drug addict in the river.
Right.
I've seen that.
Oh, for sure.
I've seen drug addicts in the river there.
But
I've also been in the river.
I also know drug addicts that hallucinate things out there too. So. Maybe I don't think this guy was on drugs.
Personally, no, yeah.
If he's recalling all these details, I just don't think he probably was.
Yeah. So before we continue on, we're going to do our little ad break. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm here interviewing the great Bigfoot. And today, Bigfoot has prepared me a meal. Bigfoot, what did you make for us today? Ooh, fried porcupine on a stick, eh? Oh, grilled, sorry. Excuse me. Yeah, is that? Ooh, this tastes absolutely delicious, Bigfoot. How did you create such an amazing dish? Oh, it's all in the seasoning, you say?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so what's your secret ingredient? Oh, this right here. Flavors of the forest. Bigfoot breath. Raw garlic dust. Oh, this is raw, straight, freeze-dried garlic? No filler? Wow, this tastes amazing. Oh, you've got... Wait, I'll try that, too. What's that you got? Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'd never had deer heart, but let's give it a go. Oh, it's a little spicier. What's in this? Spicy raw garlic dust? Wow, also from Flavors of the Forest. Well, where can I find this? Oh, in the links below. So if you're looking to season up your meal today, go to the links below. Reach out to Flavors of the Forest at flavorsforest.com and get you a bottle of raw garlic dust or spicy raw garlic dust, also known as Bigfoot breath. Talk to you later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, those are great.
I'm hungry now.
That was the first one I think we ever did, and it's just awful.
It's the best one.
It's the best one. All right, ready for some more Bigfoot encounters locally?
Yeah.
The year is... Now, listen, I'm going to tell you the year again, and I'm going to tell you all the conditions again, so when you ask me...
Hopefully I'll recall it.
Yeah. 2004, spring... You know, roughly the end of March, Hardin County. This was on the Hardin-Allen County line near 235.
Wow.
Where I lived.
Right, yeah.
They put the area as between Alger, Harrod. Yeah, because that's pretty much the nearest towns out there.
Between all that area, yeah.
So me and my wife picked up my mother from work in Lima, Ohio, at 2 a.m. We were traveling down... I-117 Southeast and turned left on Phillips Road. We were on our way home and drove across the second bridge when a dark shape on the south side of the road caught my attention, and apparently my wife and mother's also. I had not said anything until they said they saw something. My suspicions were now confirmed. I stopped the car and backed up. Whatever it was appeared to have been laying in the ditch and that goes under the bridge. When I backed the car up, it appeared to get up, lean over as if shielding itself, and it seemed as if it realized we could see it. The creature stood up and rushed at our car. It seemed that it was covered about 30 feet effortlessly. It was very fast. I think we were all shocked. I floored the car without thinking. I asked them if it was still behind us. They said it had come out onto the road behind us. I got the feeling that it wanted to scare us off more than anything. I questioned my wife and mother about what they had seen. We all saw the same thing. I just seen an immense size, as if it looked as if it was very coarse hair. My mother and my wife said it was a very large belly and was a very thick build. My wife said it had a round head and no neck.
Hmm.
They also noted a terrible stench, as if a dead animal or skunk was nearby. Three witnesses total. Yeah, they asked if they've heard other stories. Yes, we heard numerous incidents, but people are afraid to talk about it. they don't want to look foolish. And keep in mind, this is 2004.
Right.
So this is kind of right as the Bigfoot, modern day Bigfoot phenomena was really starting to go. When you look at like finding Bigfoot mountain monsters.
The shows were all coming out.
Right about this time.
Yep.
A little later, but I think 06 was when a lot of them started.
Really started, yeah. Yeah.
So,
but I think about this time,
this
maybe,
is like our Monster Quest.
Yeah, like that early stuff.
Yeah, it's Monster Quest time, which changed a lot for a lot of people.
Oh, for sure it did, yeah.
They said 2 a.m., foggy and chilly out, open fields, patches of forest. Keep in mind, this is March in Ohio walking through a creek.
Not warm.
I've done it. It's not great.
No, it's awful.
It's not great. So, follow-up investigation report. I've spoken with the three witnesses by phone and visited with them twice. Some of the common themes and impression of the incident left upon them included the creature was dark, very quick, and very large. They were adamant that it was advancing towards them very quickly on two legs. In reviewing the location and encounter of the witness, its closest approach to the creature was less than 15 feet. The area is part of the former Black Swamp of Ohio. There's a large drainage ditches that have dug to drain the swamps. If anybody's been out that way, you know, it's just a maze of drainage ditches. Full of leaf darters and orange throat darters.
Ooh, what about rainbow darters?
There's orange throats like ditches more.
Oh, okay.
They don't normally grow.
Rainbows. Occur. Rainbows are just my favorite.
Orange throats are just as pretty, if not prettier.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because they have a little more white on them, so their colors bounce a lot better.
Okay. Really shine.
The depth of the ditches where the creature came out of is estimated to be about 10 feet deep, which, yeah, a lot of them are about 10 feet deep. So this is one, it's a very common theme for our reports out this way, specifically, is these deep ditches. They walk through them. Like I said, yeah. They're 10 feet deep. You can walk around without being seen.
Right, yeah.
Deer use them a lot. I mean, when we were deer hunting, you could hear them sloshing behind you in these ditches because
they know
they can't get shot at.
Yeah.
Deer aren't dumb.
No.
Mink, fox, coyotes. We had a coyote pop up behind us in one of these ditches.
Oh, wow.
Because that's what they all know. They can walk through the fields, the empty fields, without getting caught.
Right, yeah.
This is March in Ohio. So there's no corn. There's no beans.
Right.
Very sparse tree lines. So if you're an 8-foot tall creature.
You kind of want some cover.
Yeah, at least and moving at night, even so. So the water's very cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very deep, but it's very cold and it's sucky. What do you think about this?
Well, this is the second one in a row where the thing charged there. You know, came after him.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I mean, that don't happen often.
I don't know. It's kind of a common theme in our part of Ohio.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of weird, ain't it?
Because
this one charged their, followed their vehicle, or at least they seen it come out onto the road after, behind their vehicle.
I think a big part of it could be that the fact that there's nowhere for them, very cornered. They feel very cornered.
So they're being aggressive to scare you off.
Get
more.
You moving.
Yeah.
I don't think these are any more dangerous than any of the other Sasquatch anywhere.
If it wanted to kill that first dude,
It would have. And I wish, if I ever met him, I'd tell him that,
Yeah.
I really think I'm a big believer in that.
But they
wanted you dead.
I also wonder, though, if he wouldn't have moved, what would have happened?
Yeah, if he didn't buy into it. No, I mean,
it may have killed him.
That pushes the, I personally think it would have probably backed off then.
Yeah.
You look at elephants, for example.
Maybe it just would grab them and throw them.
I told you about the story with the one elephant researcher.
Where the guy's like, if you move.
He told the camera guy that, it's going to charge us. And it's going to act like it's going to kill us. You do not move. You do not break eye contact with it. If you move, it'll kill us.
That's crazy.
Big bull elephant charges at the guy, gets like 5 feet out from him, stops, throws dust at him, and then goes back to eating. And then they were able to walk around. The wild bull elephant.
Yeah.
Able to walk around it fine.
That's
and he's
nuts.
Like explaining, I show we weren't scared, but I also, by not charging it back or not initiating
anything,
I'm not threatening him either.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, it's not threatening me and it's not scared of me.
We're going back to business.
We're just going to go back to doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I think probably at that first encounter that would have happened is it probably would have just started walking down the creek. I don't know, though. I think people disappear from these things. I don't think it's very common.
Right.
At least on our side of the country.
Either way, if it's 7 foot tall, big, like, I don't know, black shadow, hairy shadow is coming after me. I'm probably going to run. I think just natural instincts kick in. I think that wonder and awe kind of just goes away for a bit. And fear, nightmare, nightmare, nightmare. I don't know why this is stuck in my head the past 2 weeks.
I don't know.
It's just fun. That cracks me up.
but... We never got the bluff charges from our Bigfoot encounter, but for everybody at home, this is all the same, very like within 2 miles of where I had mine.
Right, yeah.
Kenton is a little farther. It's about 15 miles, but
that, but one, the that same river, road, pretty much.
Yeah, it's same road. That river runs right by my old house.
Within, yeah.
It actually is the creek that runs on the old property.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It feeds into it.
Okay.
So literally, they're all connected by these waterways, which is very important. Specifically, I think for most Sasquatch, but Ohio, the Midwest Sasquatches,
I think
it's more important.
In Hardin County specifically, yeah.
Which we'll talk about in our presentation, why Hardin County is special.
That's right.
Yeah. You got to come in to hear it.
Huh?
You got to come to the Jamboree to hear it.
Oh, yeah. If you come October 5th to the Jamboree.
I'll even tell you if you don't have tickets to the thing. Why Hardin County special.
Oh.
Anybody that's listened to the show for a while knows why Hardin County special.
That's right.
At least in my opinion, as a armchair Sasquatch researcher.
Why it's special is what you're saying, yeah.
But yeah, just these weird river ones. Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
I got to go a bit farther away for the next one.
Okay, how far?
Defiance.
Okay.
It's 29 miles, which still isn't crazy. Defiance takes forever to drive to.
Yeah.
Because there's not a straight road between here and Defiance.
Not at all.
It's like an hour drive.
Yeah.
Even though it's 29 miles.
You got to go. Yeah. It is weird.
We did a library talk there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice town. I like Defiance a lot. A
really nice library.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that much. That's a nice library.
Yeah. It was really pretty. The year is 1998, spring, May 24th, Defiance County, Defiance, Ohio. Well, Defiance is the nearest town. It's the first small island west of State Route 66 bridge.
Okay.
So I live in Defiance, Ohio, along the Auglaize River. I was going upriver in my rowboat with a motor while the river was flooded. So everybody didn't know the Auglaize and the Maumee can get very violent very quick.
Mm-hmm.
They're flashy rivers is what it's called, which means they flash flood
very
extremely fast. They kill people. These not really as much anymore with how much, you know, boats are now.
Right.
But they still kill people.
They're deadly.
Yeah. I like to go and see if I can spot deer. I got about a mile or so upriver and was rounding behind a bend in the river when there were a lot of trees piled up from the flood. I saw a glimpse of what looked like a small Bigfoot, maybe 3 or 4 feet in height. It walked up the logs and disappeared over the pile of trees. Just then, I looked to my right and saw 3 deer standing there looking at me. I jokingly said to the deer, "Did you see that?" Just when I started to speak, I heard a scream that would curdle milk. I just sat there frightened in the current watching the deer. I started looking around to see what was making the noise. For the heck of it, I started talking to see if it would do it again. It did, only louder and longer than before. The deer took off, and I did too. I have lived on the river my whole life, and I've never heard that before or since.
Hmm.
Since then, I have spotted what seems to be the same creature watching me while I'm sitting in the lagoon off the river fishing. It's a good spot to see wildlife. The creature I've seen is always small, only 3 or 4 feet tall. It's always in a shadow where you can just barely get a good look at it.
Mm, interesting.
So definitely describes a small Bigfoot, Littlefoot. Listen to Jake Driscoll's talk.
Mm-hmm.
Driscoll.
At the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree, October 5th.
He's the second speaker of the day.
This weekend.
And he specializes in Littlefoot encounters. It was in the evening. Sun was very low. It was getting dark, but you could still see. Environment, swampy, rocky. So literally, it's on one of the islands out there. I don't know if you picked up on that.
Yeah, you said it in the beginning.
Auglaize has some big islands.
Okay, I guess I didn't really realize that.
Yeah, I mean, Auglaize and both Maumee have really big islands.
Hmm.
I've walked the ones in the Maumee, and they're big. They have deer. Everything lives on these islands.
Wow. Any houses?
Not really, because I think most of them were protected.
Okay. That'd be a cool place to live.
And it's very hard to build right in the middle of a floodplain.
Heck yeah.
Because they're not tall islands.
No one will be coming to rob you.
Yeah, because every year your house is gone.
Yeah, that's right.
The witness added as he recollects the date so well because it was the day before his birthday. While he only was able to glimpse the creature, he was certain that it was not human, and it walked quickly up the logs on 2 feet. He was not able to describe the color as it was dark. The distance during the first observation was approximately 30 yards. The other times he would catch glimpses the summer looking at him, it would hide always behind the shadows or deadfalls in the river. He never saw it after a short period of a few months in 1998, though he still explores the river. It was the screams that the witness heard were the greatest impact that caused him to flee. The second scream was loud and long, which exceeds anything the person could make. So this was an interesting one. Littlefoot type creature, middle of the river. You've seen it kind of scramble up and disappear into the woods.
And screaming, but...
Heard one scream.
And then responded to their voice.
Yeah, that was the first one. And then the second one, you know, could have responded again.
Right.
But louder and deeper. So there's two thoughts. Is it, you know, is it this little creature making the scream?
Mm-hmm.
Or mom or dad Bigfoot is in the woods and was just really trying to get this human to leave.
Trying to scare him off.
Yeah, because little Bigfoot got seen. If it even is a little Bigfoot. You know, we right, talk about... These things being pukwudgies or any assortments of little, you know, little creatures.
Right. Some bipedal hominid. That's.
What do you think of this one?
I mean, it sounds very reasonable. I don't know. I don't sound like they're making it up or nothing.
Every one of them has been by the water so far in Ohio.
Yep. Common themes here.
In our part of the state, and I'll spoil it a little bit, it's almost always near a river or a stream.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but
mostly.
I'm going to say 75% of the time, it's within 10 yards of a river or stream.
Well, maybe perhaps at the Iowa Bigfoot Jamboree during Encounter Share, we'll get some more accounts.
Maybe, I'm hoping.
Maybe some will be by water, maybe some won't.
Here's a really scary one. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
2003, fall, November 22nd, Allen County. So the nearest town was Elida. The location details on this one has been edited out.
Okay.
Now, I want to talk something about the BFRO website, because all these have so far come from the BFRO encounter sharing part of the website.
Okay.
Is that when you report this, you are giving your story to the BFRO to do whatever they please.
Right.
I want to make that very clear, is that when you turn it over to the BFRO, they do not have to publish your encounter. They are an organization. They choose to do with what they want. You are willingly giving them over to them. They study these. They go out and they, you know, look up areas with flaps. You know, they so sometimes there's been talks of them not publishing all these encounters. And I turned mine in and it's never gotten published.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that speaks to that I was probably the third or fourth person in a very short period of time to turn it in to a small area. And somebody took it of interest. And what they do is they pull it down so they can research it without other people getting involved.
Gotcha.
To keep like a site clean, essentially.
Right.
You know, there's not 50 amateur Bigfooters out there.
Tampering,
you know, walking around, destroying evidence on accident. You know. So some of these, if you go through the BFRO website, you see these, like, where it's edited out.
Okay.
That means in my head, and I don't know this for a fact, that there's somebody actively researching it or looking into it.
Gotcha.
That's just what I take from it. It's their website. They can do whatever they want with it. I've heard negative things about it. Where I don't get why they take those down or they hide certain encounters. It's their website.
Right, yeah.
It's free. Sure
they got some reason for it.
It's theirs. They can do whatever they want with it. I'm a big whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's your thing. Do it.
Right, yeah. It's not like a town square or like the, what is the public square, is that
it? Yeah. It's not taxpayer owned.
Right.
The nearest town, though, was Elida. Mm. Which anybody locally knows where Elida is.
Sure. Yeah, it's right on the other side of Lima, right, the west side.
I was sitting at my computer. My computer is facing the window. I can look directly outside the window and sit at my computer. We own 12 and a half acres of woodland and live in the hardwoods. There is a creek that snakes through the woods. Because we live about an eighth of a mile off the road in the woods, we do not have curtains on our windows. I enjoy the view and love seeing the nature in the woods out my window. Anyways, this was it was only about an hour ago. I felt something watching me. I glanced up, and looking outside my window was a horribly ugly face.
Mm.
Dark eyes, flat wide nose, crackled skin with a super heavy brow.
Mm.
Crest around its nose and eyes. Looked very dark, like a very, very dark ape. I got chills all over my skin, and my hair on my arm kind of stood up. I got up from my desk chair and immediately headed to the light switch. It could see what I was doing. When I flipped the switch, there was nothing there. I only saw the face for a second. When our eyes met, it moved immediately around the corner of the window out of my sight.
Hmm. He had a lot of detail.
Yeah, because it's one of those things that like flash burns into your brain.
Yeah.
If you like see this face looking at it, I've heard this same similar encounter multiple states.
Yeah.
And every time it's like the worst thing a person's ever experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Because it not only is it an invasion of privacy, it's an invasion of privacy by an inhuman thing.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, peeping Toms are, you know, they scar a lot of people. Whether, you know, they don't quote unquote do anything harmful physically.
Physically, yeah.
It's a mental, you know, it's a mental injury.
Yeah.
And now this is an inhuman face doing it.
Right.
You know, it's not like a raccoon staring, you know, it's human enough to be like an intelligent face.
Right, yeah.
But like she said, a horribly ugly face.
Oof. I don't even know how I would react in that situation. If I would feel like...
Well, you know how I'd react. I throw a punch instantly. Anything, anything moves out of the corner of my eye.
Karate chop it.
Punch right through the glass, and then I'd run.
It's Dover Demon.
Dover Demon it to dust.
Kick it to dust.
So they also noted, not recently, not sure about after. It was only an hour since I saw the face. Other witnesses, no, my husband went to bed. We worked hard cutting wood all day. He was exhausted. There was only two of us when I went to my computer. Is there any other stories? It's been a while since I've heard the horrible screams. The trees used to shake, and some would snap about 6 feet up, like a huge hand had snapped and twisted them. Mm. There used to be a large cat in our area in the 80s. The cat was a large black cougar-sized animal. Two migrant workers released two of them years ago in the Van Wert area. The cats were paraded through the streets on leashes. It was reported the cats got too unruly and were released because they were getting too hard to handle.
So they had... Wait, in the 80s, there was two migrant workers that had two big black cats.
And when they got too big, they just released them.
Wow.
And we wonder, if it was male and female, I wonder where all these, like, Bluffton black cats...
The ABCs are coming from.
Well, Bluffton has a long history of them. Yeah.
Well, Van Wert's not far.
No, they're right next to each other. Like, literally. Are the descendants of these cats still around? Reports have been filed recently with the police department in the Spencerville, Ohio area as well. Timing conditions, it was about an hour ago, 11 p.m., right, very dark outside. It was clear, very dark and warm. Today, the temperatures were high in the 60s, the cold front due to the next area in the next 24 hours. But yeah. So what do you think about this one?
This is, I think it's pretty interesting. The black cats thing, that's the biggest takeaway I just took away from all this. That they released them, like...
It happened a lot more than people realize.
Yeah, that's what I was just wondering.
Like the alligators in Ohio.
Right now. Yeah.
Right now. We're up to three alligators.
Yeah.
And you remember the crocodile, was it 4 years ago?
Where?
In Ohio.
Mm. Just in someone's backyard or something?
No,
I don't remember.
It was in a state park. I think it was in Yellow Springs.
Hmm.
And there's like eight kids that were screwing with this, like, 8-foot saltwater crocodile. And they kept coming up and telling their parents there's a crocodile in the creek. And they, of course, the parents were, like, never believing them.
Right.
Finally, one of the dads goes down there and thinking it's a big salamander because there are hellbenders in the area. And mud puppies. So they think it's a big salamander. And there's literally an 8-foot crocodile trying to eat these kids.
Big salamander.
And the DNR immediately shot it.
Well, yeah.
I think they should have personally tried to catch it.
And do what with it?
Go to a zoo.
Okay. Well, yeah.
It was somebody's pet that they had released because it got too big.
Yeah. Well.
But that's what's happening with alligators right now.
That's a tough situation.
I'm not saying he was completely in the wrong, but he immediately shot it in the head like 15 times.
Well, yeah, you got to kill it. I mean, it won't kill no kids if it's dead.
Well, immediately the kids were away from it. It was definitely a pet alligator, you could just tell.
Yeah.
Or crocodile, because it was like kind of trying to eat him, but not really.
Yeah.
Like, it was more expecting, like, when it snapped at people that somebody throw food in its mouth.
I just feel like maybe Ohio is a state that people shouldn't own crocodiles or alligators.
Well, you're not legally allowed to.
Okay.
It's the neighboring states you go buy them in. And gotcha. Then I think you should be allowed to and just have to buy the permit. Because once you buy the permit, then people can check in on the animals.
Oh, that'd be nice, yeah. Just a check system.
When you make it illegal fully, then there's no regulation.
True. Yeah, that's probably the better route.
Make it legal and just... have a permit for the animal.
Right, so you know where they're at.
Yeah.
Then if someone else has one...
Because generally that creates a community. I'm not joking that it will turn in illegal people from the community.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you legally own an alligator or crocodile...
It's more... Yeah, you're doing it the right way and you're more
like,
regulated.
I don't want to get in trouble because this guy's doing it.
Because Tiger King down the roads, or Gator King, we're going to call him, is running some illegal gator farm and letting little kids pet the babies. And then when they get too big, he just buries them in the backyard. We don't want that. Doesn't end well.
All right. My last one for this. It was 1993, summer, June, Hancock County. So we've done the county to the...
West of us?
County to the north. Now kind of county to the east.
Or no, I think Hancock's north of us.
Kinda. It's on top. It's like that way, northeast.
Okay, northeast.
Defiance is way
northwest.
Up. Yeah.
Or north northwest. Yeah.
Fostoria, Ohio, a small town northwest Ohio, located in the middle of three counties: Wood, Hancock, and Seneca. Our neighborhood, Kelly Edition, is a large, lush neighborhood on the outskirts of town, just separated from the country by a small woodland named our woodland community named Westridge. Both behind neighborhoods are there's two small reservoirs side by side. I know exactly where this is. I fished those reservoirs.
Oh.
The reservoirs are surrounded by creeks, which snake through the town and lead to the countryside.
Okay.
So every story,
water,
creek, river, water. But this provides a very dense tree line from the reservoirs that can easily be crossed the neighborhood. Basically, all she's saying is that there's dense trees along these creeks that go right up from the reservoir to these communities to the country.
Mm.
So if you could walk and never be seen.
Right.
Fostoria, Van Buren Road is the nearest road. It was several years ago. The date itself, I'm not sure of. It was a dry summer, a very infamous drought, if I remember. So a lot of these are, like I said, near waterways, but they're drought years, it seems, from this small collection of stories already.
It's a drought year this year.
Yeah, so I kind of wonder if, you know, they haven't been releasing them yet, but I kind of wonder if in the next couple of years we'll see reports from this year.
Because
it's been a hard year for water.
I think you might see a sighting October 5th at the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree this weekend.
There you go.
There may be one walking around.
It wasn't uncommon for deer, raccoons, and other animals in the countryside to wander towards the edge of town to drink from the creeks and reservoirs. This particular day, my father and I awoke early in the morning to leave the Fremont. It was barely light out, still dark, birds were chirping and singing beautifully in the morning dawn, when we suddenly heard it. From what it seemed to come from the creek and reservoir area was an eerie cry that sounded like a very sick cow. This cry was so primal and terrifying that it made the hair on the back of both of our necks stand straight up in fear. Instantly, the birds were quiet, the singing replaced by the sound of every dog in about a mile's radius barking and going wild. My father, a veteran hunter of Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Ohio, had never heard anything like this before. We tried not to think about it as we were sure the doors in our house were locked before driving to Fremont. Years later now, I'm visiting a website and listening to the sound clips of Bigfoot. One of them made my heart stop. It was the exact same scream we heard that long ago. Also noted dogs barking wildly in response, like they had never heard it before. Witnesses, father and I, other stories. My father had heard stories from his hunting buddies about strange, eerie wails and screams they were following the night of hunting. But we never thought any of it to be true, and that, for that matter, even suspected of Bigfoot. Early morning, maybe 5 a.m., dark but turning to light in the horizon, environment, creek bottom surrounded by brush. Yeah, so a very, like, I believe he is connecting the Ohio howl.
I was just going to wonder what the sound was.
The BFRO website has several collections of very fascinating sounds.
Mm-hmm.
This one he's talking about in particular, I believe, is the Ohio howl.
Okay.
The real famous one. Because at that time, you know,
was that Matt?
Yeah, it was Matt Moneymaker. Yes.
Okay. Oh, awesome. Yeah, I mean, I would like be interested to hear which specific sound he was talking about. Just that's awesome, though, that, you know, you can get that confirmation.
It's something that's coming from a person that had an encounter that didn't talk about it for years. It's something that you don't realize how bad you need. Like you said, you've seen the guy from Salt Fork and how he completely looked different from the first time we'd seen him.
Oh, big time.
And we talked about Greg this episode.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that something about the community that comes forth that you see something that's not supposed to exist.
Right.
You see a mythological character, a paranormal character, whatever you want to call a Bigfoot or any of these creatures, and something on the fringe of understanding. And it upsets your world, like building in your head. So it's hard something to rationalize. So when you get to these communities, you get to these things, you hear the sound somewhere else. You see the thing that somebody talked about, like shadow people encounters. When you hear somebody else really talk about if they really had a shadow person encounter, that's something you can't fake.
Right.
Very easily, at least. So when you hear somebody describing something you had seen in that way, it makes you feel better about what you've seen.
100%, yeah.
With these, Ohio, specifically Northwest Ohio, you know, we kind of get left out in the Bigfoot scene for Ohio.
Everyone just thinks, no, there's no Bigfoot up there.
And we do. I don't think we have as many as, you know, Southeast Ohio.
No, yeah.
No, but I don't think many places in the country have as many as Southeast Ohio without going, you know, very north and, you know, the UP or something like that. At least it's probably your best chance of running into a Bigfoot. If you really, really, really want to see a Bigfoot, I highly suggest either Hocking Hills area to Salt Fork area. Conkle's Hollow is one I always tell people. It's an easy trail. It's got a handicap accessible trail. And there are literally tons and tons and tons of Bigfoot sightings in that area.
A lot of sightings.
So I think it was Jeremiah from Bigfoot Site who was telling, you know, it's a lot of people give you sighting areas or anything like that. I don't care. I mean, I don't think you're going to run a Bigfoot off. Just don't destroy the park, please. Pick up your trash.
Right. That's the big thing. Yeah.
Just pick up your trash. And I'll tell you where we found, at least for research, tons of encounters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just got a call from, it was a TV show agency from Michigan that was asking about Bigfoot encounter areas. And I gave him some areas just like, don't trash it. I don't care.
Right.
Go enjoy nature. You're going on a Bigfoot hike. You're actually going on a nature hike.
Right. That's the big thing about it too.
But Northwest Ohio has a Bigfoot culture. We have Bigfoot here. We have many people. And I think as we start doing these things, it's already happened with the show. It's already happened with the things we've done, that more and more and more is coming to light.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, these stories, because we're not the Bigfoot side of Ohio, these stories will die with these people. And I think that's one of the biggest things from our show and the Jamboree and stuff like that, that people are going to see that, oh, no, there is Bigfoot here. There is culture here. So I think it'll birth the ability for more stories to come out.
Right. Let's let it bloom.
Yeah.
We planted the seeds, and now we're sprinkling the water.
So we cannot wait to see you this weekend at the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree.
That's right.
Please get ready to enjoy a whole week of Bigfoot episodes leading up to the Jamboree. We cannot wait to meet all you guys. Please come up and talk. Me and Jay will be running around constantly during this thing. We probably won't be at our table a whole lot, but we'll be wearing the pink shirts.
We'll be all around the park.
Staff, volunteers, that kind of thing, security. We'll have the pink Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree shirts. The rest of the shirts are gray. So if you need something, ask somebody in a pink shirt.
Right.
Me and you will be wearing pink shirts running around. But please stop us. If we're running around talking, stop us and talk to us, get a picture.
Yeah.
Our after party's at the Bowen Alley at 6 o'clock. We'll be there all night. Probably 1, 2, 3 in the morning, I imagine.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'll probably sleep there is what my guess is.
That's fine. Well, I'm not going to argue with you.
We have sober people in our party that will probably drive us home.
Okay, cool.
But we're so blessed by the community that's been created around us.
Yeah.
And we love you guys to death. And doing this event has been both stressful and rewarding. Even it's not even here yet. But just so far the support has been unreal.
Overwhelming.
In the best of ways.
Right, yeah.
So from Mr. E and J, we want to say thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.